This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Zip Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. What's it like to be on an island expecting their biggest storm on record to hit overnight? To Kingston, Jamaica, and ABC's Ike Ejachi waiting on Category 5 Melissa, with winds of 175 miles an hour gusting to 200.
What we're seeing right now is massive amounts of rain starting to come onto the island in intermittent bands, along with those strong winds. Now, we went out around the island just in the past hour or so, and we started to see those effects essentially batter the coast. Those strong winds, that storm surge, is essentially going to engulf Kingston and affect the rest of the island.
It could wash away homes with inundation of 13 feet. The U.S. has evacuated 1,000 non-essential personnel and their pets from the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba, which is on Melissa's current track. The Bahamas, now under hurricane warnings. Military members are due to miss their first paychecks this week. Air traffic controllers, too. Food assistance for 42 million Americans runs out Saturday. This is ABC News. Cigarettes are why Lithuania plans to close its border with Belarus. Lithuania's prime minister saying today she's fed up over flights at her capital's airport being disrupted repeatedly by balloons used to smuggle cigarettes across the frontier. President Trump is in Japan for his first meeting with its first woman leader, Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi. Wall Street closed higher on the possibility of a Trump trade truce with China. Mr. Trump has been threatening additional tariffs beyond the 30% now charged on Chinese goods coming into the U.S. A cruise with norovirus after an 11-day voyage has finally arrived in Boston from Montreal. The CDC says 88 passengers and 8 crew got sick aboard the Oceania Insignia. It may have been a twister. They're investigating a tornado possibly this morning in Mexico Beach in Florida. I'm Wayne Cabot, ABC News.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show. Heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Over the air and on the web, WRCE is your home for real news and great conversations through Richland Center. Learn more at WRCE.fm.
Berg, where the Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Green Bay fell behind 16-7 at the half. Quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, when we came in the locker room at halftime, you know, the message was that we just weren't finishing. We weren't executing our plays and we weren't locked in on doing the everybody's 111. So, you know, there's plays to be made and I think we just weren't executing those and we weren't able to stay on the field. So, you know, I think the first half went by really fast for us as an offense. We had one scoring drive. And so I think the message was just do your job, lock in and execute.
At one point, Love had completed 20 consecutive passes. Aaron Rodgers on why the Steelers offense stalled in the second half.
Yeah, we had too many penalties, too many negative yardage plays, and then I wasn't accurate enough on third down, and we weren't creating enough space. But we'll look at the film, and you know, we'll get better, and we got a good team coming in next week.
NBA, the Bucks with a loss on the road to the Cavaliers, 118-113, despite Giannis with 40 points. With Sports on Mike Clemens.
Real news, great conversation, right to your inbox. Subscribe to WRCE's newsletter and never miss the stories right here in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, highs in the upper 50s. Some showers possible tomorrow night, then back into sunshine on Wednesday, highs again in the upper 50s, and dry through the rest of the work week. Currently, it's 56.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cam Stevenson.
I don't think we've seen destruction at the White House like that since 1812.
The only people working hard in Washington, D.C. right now are the demolition workers tearing down the east facade of the White House. Let's bring in a whole demolition crew, Cam. That was, right. I mean, the metaphor of the year.
It's very symbolic to see the symbol of power in the United States demolished.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. News from the center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking. Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, man, I hope you are ready because it is Monday night in the state of Wisconsin, and I am ready to go. I'm very excited. I got a great show for you guys tonight. We are kicking things off. Another gorgeous, gorgeous fall day here in the state of Wisconsin. Absolutely beautiful today. Sunny, a little bit of a nice breeze coming in off the lake. Maybe if we're lucky, Conrad will give us one of his forecasts at some point tonight.
It's cold.
You think you could rally that?
It's cold.
Okay. So just think about it, you know.
No, it's cold. I'm done.
But a gorgeous, gorgeous day and a great weekend. Hopefully you guys are ready to talk some entertainment and movies and TV and music and comedy, maybe a little sports. I know Packer fans are probably revved up. Your guy, Jordan Love,
yep.
J-Love, J-Lo, if you will,
no,
did something neither one of those other two dudes did last night. That was a pretty impressive outing.
It was like second half was totally different team.
Yeah.
They just came out and never looked back. It's like the defense stepped up huge, too, as well.
He just looks like, whatever. Let's play some football.
He's very calm.
It's unbelievable.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, that was big. And I'm sure Packer, not that you're torn, but Aaron Rodgers had a good run here. He's kind of a weird dude. And I got to say, I don't mind seeing him lose, probably because of years of inflicted pain as a Bears fan. But the guy is like, you know he wanted that really bad. He said the right things after the game, but, oh, my God, you could tell he wanted to win that game.
Well, you know, it was funny. He said after the game that he'd use a silent count because the go pack go chants were actually really loud in Pittsburgh.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What do you attribute that to? Road trippers?
The Packers fans, they travel well, especially against Aaron Rodgers. They were like, oh, we're going to this game.
You know, that's a good point. But, like, I feel like in Tennessee, maybe, but like Pittsburgh, like their fans are right up there with anybody's. All the fans are great. I'm just saying, like Pittsburgh, that surprises me that they would sell their tickets to, I don't know.
You know what surprised me very much yesterday was the Bears losing to the Ravens. I did not see that coming.
I don't think anybody did.
Tyson Bagent. Okay.
Probably not ready for that, but yeah, Tyler Huntley came out and looked like an all-pro.
Yes, he did.
So that was fun. Very, very strange. Very weird. Like, how do you come down? How do you put two great drives together? You come up with 3 points each time, which is not good, but the drives look beautiful. And then you fall apart. Is that just pregame planning? Like you've got the first couple drives planned out and the plays picked, and then you suck after that? Like they look like the same old Bears. They don't look like this offensive mastermind is coaching them. It's the same plays.
It's not the same team that we, you know, 2 weeks.
Right.
2 weeks in a row, they look pretty good, and then just like, just totally different this week. They got to step. They got to go back.
I'll tell you another thing, though, that I do think, and I don't know, does LaFleur get enough credit? He's a brilliant play caller.
It's funny. It's like he is. There's some plays that you're like, do we need a screen on 3rd and 12? I don't know. Do we need to go? You know, but people just like totally change up. We have this great game that we did yesterday. Matt LaFleur is great. And then the next game was like, we still win, but it's like 3 points. You're like, fire Matt LaFleur. I'm like, what?
You guys were spoiled.
Excuse me?
No, I don't think his name gets mentioned. You hear Sean McVay, the guy in San Francisco. You hear Ben Johnson because of what he did in Detroit. You don't hear Matt LaFleur when you hear the offensive geniuses. But I think he is right up there with – every time I watch them play, I'm like, that was a great play. You know, he just has a varied playbook, and I think that's helped. And all of your play callers, from Holmgren to McCarthy and now LaFleur, like, you've had good luck with quarterbacks. You've also had great luck with coaches.
Yeah.
So that to me is really the miracle of a 30-year run where you got a quarterback paired up with a great coach. Because I think you can have a great coach and a not so good quarterback and the quarterback could look pretty pedestrian.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I'll say this, you know, there is one person I cheer for besides any Packers players, and that's Jonathan Taylor.
Oh yeah, sure.
Cuz he's a, you know, a Badger.
Yeah.
And he's
great.
He's an MVP runner this
year. Fantastic. So, yeah, anyway. Well, great show tonight, folks. You're here on a good night. Hopefully, if you have the Monday blues, let me do my best to get rid of them. And if you're in a great mood, hopefully we will keep that going for you. We've got 3 guests tonight, and I'm pretty excited to have every one of them here. Dustin Mack will be here. Dustin is the executive director of the Appleton History Museum at the Castle. That just sounds like a cool museum.
Yes, it does.
And it's a great facility. Have you ever seen that facility?
I have. Well, I think I drove past it.
It's unbelievable. Our pal Frank Anderson, who's a regular on the show, had an office there for a long time. It's just this, I think it's an old monastery, but we'll ask Dustin about that. He will be here. We're going to talk about a really cool Houdini exhibit. We're ramping up towards Halloween here. Houdini has a mystery about him. We'll talk with Dustin about their really cool and interactive Houdini exhibit that starts, I want to say, on Wednesday, I think. But we'll talk to Dustin about that. And then, keeping the creep going, this guy's not a creep, but he's promoting the creepy. And just in time for Halloween, it's, I didn't look up you got to help me out here. Emil?
Yeah, I should have been more prepared as well.
You sent me the pronunciation.
Okay, Bert a lot.
So just like it sounds.
Yes.
You could have just said Pete, just like it sounds.
I had to go back to the email myself quick. It's Emil Bert a lot.
It's a much more cool and exotic name than mine. That's all I know. Emil will be here at 7:05. He's the creative director of the Ghost Boat Tours in Wisconsin Dells. And this sounds so cool. They have a video on their website, and I was watching it today. They go into this area called Coldwater Canyon. They have these limestone canyons lit, and they have like these standing dead people. It looks so creepy. Like, I assumed you stayed in the boat. Like people get off the boat. It's really cool. So if you're in the Wisconsin Dells area, this might be something you want to check out this week leading up to the big day of Halloween. Emil Bertolot will be here at 7:05. And then we've got someone to rock the studio tonight, and it's going to be FunCon. 7:20, musician, singer, songwriter, Strategic joins me here at 7:20. We'll talk to Strategic. He is a Northeast Wisconsin-based musician. So that'll be fun. That's 3 guests for the price of, well, none. This is free. People don't really pay to listen to this show. So that'll be fun. We've got a great question tonight. And you know what, Con? I think it's time we get to our Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is an actor or actress you think should be more well-known? There's a lot of them out there, like people that just have these great movies. And what made me think of this question was the actor Cary Elwes, who was in The Princess Bride. He played the prince. opposite Robin Wright Penn at the time, and he was the guy that kept saying, as you wish. And he was great. He was great in that role. Handsome guy, gets comedy. And I always thought, man, you know, he just had a good career, but I always thought he would be like an A-list star. So it got me thinking, who is an actor or actress you think should be more well-known? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can drop us a comment on the app or a stream comment if you're watching the radio at YouTube, Facebook, or X, Twitter. Let us know. Give us a like or a follow if you're so inclined while you're there on any of our social media platforms, and let us know who you think should be a more famous, well-known, however you want to say it, actor or actress. There's a lot of them out there. And I'm going to say William Peterson. He's a guy who I said Carrie always, he kind of inspired the question, but William Peterson, and you guys probably know him from the CSI series. He was like the lead forensic guy, and he was good. But in the movie To Live and Die in L.A. and Manhunter, he is spectacular. He's intense. He's like this. He's just so charismatic. And not over the top, just a really solid actor. Grew up in the Chicago area, became a Chicago theater actor, co-founded the Remains Theater Company, and he's great. So I say William Peterson. Question inspired by Carrie always. Who do you say, Con?
I said Dylan O'Brien.
Who is that? I know that actor, yeah, but I can't place his face.
He has some great, great roles.
Okay.
He was the main person in the Maze Runner series. Okay. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I feel like they're movies, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I saw the first one.
Yeah, but they're based off books. But the Maze Runner series is fantastic. But he was also in Love and Monsters, which is a fantastic film. He just actually, I think he should be, he does a really good job in the, I feel like he should be in some bigger roles, if I should say. And he has a new one with, what's her name? It's directed by Sam Raimi, and it's called Send Help, and it looks fantastic.
Okay, Dylan O'Brien, I got news for you, buddy. He's like 151 on the IMDb Pro star meter.
Oh, really?
he's big.
Well, I mean he has a brand new film that could be, you know.
Send Help. Yeah, he plays Bradley Preston. That's I believe it's a Sam Raimi film. Like, yeah, Sam Raimi. All right.
The trailer looks crazy. I'm definitely going to see this in theaters.
When does this open?
I believe next year.
Oh, January. That seems like a good Halloween movie. Yeah, he's arrived, but I agree. He's not a household name. Like, I had to look him up.
Exactly.
But he's got a lot of stuff coming out, and sometimes the star meter on IMDb Pro kind of predicts that in a way. Like, he might not be the biggest star right now, but your guy might be on his way there.
I do believe that his films that he's been in, he's fantastic in them. That's why I chose him.
He's got a cool name, too.
Yeah.
Dylan O'Brien. That's the name Jerry Seinfeld wanted when he and George stole the limo. And they found out that he was like, Dylan O'Brien was like a white supremacist who was supposed to give a speech at Madison Square Garden. And the two thugs in the limo with him think they're them, but they're not. Obviously, they're Jerry and George. So, all right. So let us know what your response is. Who should be a more well-known actor or actress in your opinion? Lots of fun stuff. I saw this great list. You know, let's get to the list after the break. I will say, here's what bugs me. Commercials in general are driving me crazy. But did you see the Jonas Brothers concert the other night?
No.
It was interrupted by the World Series. But this is like the Bill Burr joke, how they take a moment to stand up to cancer. It was like a 15-minute break in the middle of the game. I didn't know they did that. Was that a first? You're not watching the World Series.
I'm not. Basketball
aren't
just came
like,
back.
Aren't you like co-host of Make the Call? Don't you have to stay up on all this stuff?
Well, you know, Wisconsin sports aren't in it anymore, so I'm keeping up with the Bucks and the Packers.
Yeah, whatever. But they did this. The Jonas Brothers played a song. Everybody's standing up. They got a candle. All right, we're going to do a break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to complain about a paper towel commercial, folks. You won't want to miss that. And then I'm going to tell you some Saturday Night Live hosts who have been banned from the show. It's insane. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right. Let you know, girl,
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
From Main Street to the Capitol in Madison, WRCE is where Wisconsin turns for real news and great conversation. WRCE.FM.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Just getting in the mood here for Halloween tonight here at Nightlight on a Monday. Great to have you with me. I'm Pete Schwabba. And the question of the night is, who do you think who should be a bigger star, actress or actor, or more famous or more respected, however you want to approach it, someone you feel is a little underrepresented? And I said William Peterson of Manhunter and To Live and Die in L.A. He eventually went on to find bigger fame and paychecks with CSI, the CSI series, but a great actor. Conrad said Dylan O'Brien, who is apparently on his way to and kind of a hotshot right now in Hollywood. But let us know who you think at 855-752-4842, or you can drop us a comment on the app or on the stream if you're watching the radio on YouTube, Facebook, or X. And also, folks, if you haven't yet, think about subscribing to Civic Media today. Civic Media recently launched a new, brand new, that is, daily email newsletter on Substack. It will connect you to all of the terrific content we have here at Civic Media across the network. You can find out about your favorite hosts and shows and all that kind of stuff and get updates in your inbox every weekday. We'll connect you to news stories, podcast feeds, live streams. We've got it all. Check out the Civic Media Today newsletter and become a subscriber. It's good stuff. Conrad, are you a subscriber?
I am.
Really?
I get them daily, yeah.
Do you really? I got to do that, too. I've been meaning to do that. Now I just read my own announcement, and I'll still need a reminder later when the show is over. I just go to the website anyway, but I need to subscribe to that. Absolutely. Okay, so we got the question, and I don't know. Let's read some text. I have to tell you first. Okay, this World Series game, here's my problem. It seems like they're selling more ad space for all sporting events. It really takes the fun out of, you know, an NFL game is an hour. The broadcast is 3.5 hours. It's too much. And I noticed this during the World Series, how stupid commercials are. This one in particular was for a paper towel. Let me ask you something, Con. When you go to the store to buy paper towels, do you have a brand you prefer?
I just pick whatever's the cheapest.
Exactly. Paper towels, on these commercials, folks, paper towel companies, you don't have to show someone cleaning up the spill. Just tell us it works and how much it is. I would respect them more. I see this hand, a hand model, using the paper towel to clean water off a table. No one is at home going, wow, what a towel.
We need to get that now.
Yeah, honey, add this to the list. In fact, pause the game. I'm going to hit the grocery store. I mean, all paper towels clean messes. And I just wonder, like, nobody has a preference. Like, I know you got your favorite pizza or beer or soda, but a paper towel? I've never been hanging out with a bunch of dudes, and one of them says, no, dude, I will only buy Bounty. It's the quicker picker-upper. I could be way off, but I cannot stand ads anymore in general. I just hate being sold stuff.
I had to look this up because I remember this when I was a kid. Do you remember the infomercial for ShamWow?
I do, yeah. Those late night infomercials are so great. Some of that. We'll play that tomorrow. That was a great one, right?
ShamWow actually works really well, supposedly. Like, it actually does what it says.
What does it clean again?
Well, it's like a towel, but you can, it just rings out and then it's perfectly dry again.
That's insanity. That's paper towel sciencing gone amok. I love it. Let's read some of our text before we get to our first guest, who is Dustin Mack from the Appleton History Museum at the Castle. We're going to talk Houdini in just a few minutes. Ghost Boat Tours at 7:05 with Emil Bertolot. He's the executive director of Wisconsin Dells Ghost Boat Tour. Boy, that's a mouthful. Ghost Boat Tours.
Yeah.
And then Strategic in studio at 7:20 performing live. That'll be really cool. I love in studio live entertainment. We go to the social media responses to our question tonight, which is, what actor or actress do you think should be more famous? Amanda Nimmer went crazy with this. Alex Saxon. You know who that is?
You know, I looked these up before and I already forgot their faces.
Yeah. Penn Badgley and Luke Cook. We could probably figure this out if we know Amanda's pattern for TV watching.
Penn Badgley?
Mm-hmm.
That one sounds really familiar.
That's a cool name. That's why I never made it as a famous actor. Pete Schwabba. It's not right.
It's the main character, I believe, in You.
Penn Badgley?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know Amanda was a You fan. Tim Baker says Bob. Well done, Tim.
Exactly.
He does deserve a lot more respect. Our pal Ezekiel Drews, filmmaker, Milwaukee-based filmmaker, says Dan Davies. I will say these guys promote each other. All these East Coast Wisconsin filmmakers. You got Dan Davies, Craig Knitt, JB Thompson, guy behind the guy, Ezekiel. They support each other. It's a nice, tight network. Dan Davies responds saying, I am wildly famous in West Africa, primarily Nigeria and Ghana, and parts of Europe. But in America, only 9 bartenders and my garbage man, a.k.a. sanitation engineer, know who the hell I am. I mean,
I don't know. There's 2 radio guys who know who you are.
We know who you are, Dan. Maybe you move. Maybe go over there. Dan can't even go to the bathroom in Africa. And, you know, that's where your fan base is. I think Dan's got quite a few fans here, too. But Ezekiel says, Dan Davies, you could always be more famous, clarifying. So there you go. So let us know, folks, who your favorite or who you think should be more famous when it comes to actors or actresses. Tom from New Berlin in the 414 says, Conrad. This is to what we were talking about earlier. He says, Conrad, remember the last quarterback to beat the Steelers was Bart Starr. Is that true?
Yeah. Wait, no. Aaron Rodgers beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
He beat them last night, too. Tom also says, at Pittsburgh, Tom says, Jonathan Taylor, yes.
Yeah.
And says, now Jordy.
Nelson?
Jordy Nelson? Okay. Edward in the 414 says, Robert Davi, pockmarked face FBI agent Johnson in Die Hard. Yeah, he was great. Kind of like a great character actor. Keep those texts coming, folks. We're coming right back to talk about Houdini. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Happy Monday, everybody, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Get updates on what's happening in your community right to your phone through the Civic Media app. Select WRCE in the app and the news comes to you.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. What's it like to be on an island expecting their biggest storm on record to hit overnight? To Kingston, Jamaica, and ABC's Ike Jachi waiting on Category 5 Melissa, with winds of 175 miles an hour gusting to 200.
What we're seeing right now is massive amounts of rain starting to come onto the island in intermittent bands, along with those strong winds. Now, we went out around the island just in the past hour or so, and we started to see those effects essentially batter the coast. Those strong winds, that storm surge is essentially going to engulf Kingston and affect the rest of the island.
It could wash away homes with an inundation of 13 feet. The U.S. has evacuated 1,000 non-essential personnel and their pets from the Guantanamo Bay Naval Base in Cuba, which is on Melissa's current track. The Bahamas, now under hurricane warnings. Military members are due to miss their first paychecks this week. Air traffic controllers, too. Food assistance for 42 million Americans runs out Saturday. This is ABC News.
The Packers shut down the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Green Bay fell behind 16-7 at the half. Quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, when we came in the locker room at halftime, you know, the message was that we just weren't finishing. We weren't executing our plays and we weren't locked in on doing the everybody's 111. So, you know, there's plays to be made, and I think we just weren't executing those and we weren't able to stay on the field. So, you know, I think the first half went by really fast for us as an offense. We had one scoring drive. And so I think the message was just do your job, lock in, and execute.
At one point, Love had completed 20 consecutive passes. Aaron Rodgers on why the Steelers' offense stalled in the second half.
Yeah, we had too many penalties, too many negative yardage plays, and then I wasn't accurate enough on third down, and we weren't creating enough space. But we'll look at the film, and you know, we'll get better, and we got a good team coming in next week.
NBA, the Bucks with a loss on the road to the Cavaliers, 118-113, despite Giannis with 40 points. With Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Halloween creeps ever closer, and all the streaming platforms are well aware you might be in search of some good jump scares. Last week, TheWrap.com gave us some scary movies on HBO, and now they're sharing some Hulu offerings, which include The Fly, starring Jeff Goldblum. This 1986 film pulled a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and is positively disgusting and wonderful. If you want to be scared and laugh a bit, check out Scream. And for those of you who are true masochists, there is the positively disgusting Saw for your streaming Halloween pleasure. I think we are officially out of ideas to watch based on what is gaining traction right now in people's living rooms. The 2010 action comedy The A-Team is finding new eyes after its Netflix release. The film was based on the 1980s TV show with George Peppard and Mr. T. The cast is led by Liam Neeson, who shares the screen with Bradley Cooper, Jessica Biel, and Rampage Jackson. He'll never be Mr. T. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WRCE is your home for real news and great conversation in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low in the upper 30s. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day, highs in the upper 50s. Some showers possible tomorrow night, then back into sunshine on Wednesday, highs again in the upper 50s, and dry through the rest of the work week. Currently, it's 56.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Matnair.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, childcare remains a big issue in Wisconsin, around the country. Corrine Hendrickson will join us in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This is Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. Our question of the night is, who is an actress or actor that you think should be more well-known? Either respected, famous, however you want to couch it. Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Edward in the 414 told us Robert Davi. That's a great one. Brett in Brown Deer says Aubrey Plaza. She plays a great psycho chick. Check out the movie Honey, Don't. Great lesbian action, too. Maybe that should be a question one night, Con. Just what's a movie with great lesbian action? If Brett wrote the questions, I think that's what it'd be. Aubrey Plaza is good, but I think she's kind of around where she should be fame-wise. She was great in White Lotus. Was she in Parks and Rec?
Yes, she was. Yeah.
She's very good. That's a great answer, Brett, with or without the lesbian stuff. Thank you, sir. We'll get to more of your texts in just a little while. But right now, it is my pleasure to welcome the executive director of Appleton's History Museum at the Castle to talk a little Houdini, Mr. Dustin Mack. Hi, Dustin.
Hey, Pete. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Great to have you here. And it sounds like, you know, this is so great. I was looking at the museum and all the stuff you guys have coming up. Before we get into Houdini, can you tell us a little bit about the space, the facility that is the castle?
Yeah, so right now I'm sitting in a building that's over 100 years old. It's the castle, as we call it. So it was built as a Masonic temple. So it was a fraternal organization, men only. And it was meant as, you know, like a play space for them, essentially. It was a place for them to have their meetings, do civic events. There's a giant dance floor here so they could hold dances. Wow. And then kind of the higher up you go on the building, the more off limits it was to people who weren't Masons. And, you know, that's where they would have kind of their ceremonies and that sort of thing.
Very cool. It's a really cool space. I had a friend, Frank Anderson, had an office there. There are recording artists there, right, throughout the castle. Do I have the right place?
No, we've done a lot of musical events here in the past. I'm not real musical myself, but I've been told that the kind of our Ogilvy Hall is our main hall where the Masons had their ceremonies, has great acoustics. And so we've done lots and lots of different musical things here, but no recording that I know of.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Can you think of an actor or actress that you think should be more famous, Dustin, or do you have a favorite performer?
Oh, gosh.
If you weren't expecting that question.
No, I wasn't expecting it. You know what? The topic of the day is Houdini. So the more people who are interested in Houdini, I'd say him as an actor. Although most of his movies were not good, he was sure trying.
Yeah. Very well done. All right. You have this great exhibit about Houdini called AKA Houdini. And you kind of just did, but give us a little background on the man and his connection to Appleton before we get into the exhibit, if you would.
Sure. So he's a legendary escape artist, a magician. And the reason he's connected to Appleton and to this castle is oftentimes Houdini would claim that he was born in Appleton. And that wasn't actually true. He was born in Budapest, Hungary. But he immigrated here with his family and lived in Appleton for 4 years as a child. And so he had some like really core memories here and was really comfortable. His family lived a very middle class lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then eventually they moved away. They went to Milwaukee, New York City, and basically lived in poverty after that. And the theory is that living in poverty is really what drove Houdini to his greatness, that he, you know, didn't want to live like that anymore. He wanted to be a star and make money and provide for his family. But he always remembered his time in Appleton, like really, really fondly. And so had a connection here. He came back and performed at least one time that we know of and would visit friends and that sort of thing. And so we have a large Harry Houdini collection, kind of his handcuffs, lockpicks, a straitjacket, all kinds of photographs and ephemera, that sort of thing. here at the museum. And you know, one of our most famous exhibits is called AKA Houdini, that goes through his life and his legacy.
It's so great. And it's fascinating to me that he only spent the first 4 years of his life. I mean, I can barely remember, you know, the first 4 years of my life, but he still had this affinity for Appleton. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So he lived here from age 4 till 8 is when they left. And so, yeah, I mean, it's really odd because, you know, I don't have a lot of memories that stick out from being that age either. And yet here it is, you know, it's this draw for him that kind of, he kept coming back throughout his life as this kind of idyllic place where he was comfortable. He was safe. It was a happy time for the family. And he always was kind of seeking to get back to that.
It's so interesting to me. Do you have any idea what made him? I mean, he's called a magician, but mostly he's known for his escape artist ability, right? Do you have any idea what drove him? Like you mentioned the poverty, but where his fascination with escaping handcuffs or being dropped underwater in a vest, how that happened?
So there's some local lure here in Appleton that there was a swimming hole just kind of off of College Avenue, which is, you know, Main Street here in town, in the Fox River, that they were swimming one day and that he nearly drowned in that and was kind of, you know, at the last minute pulled out and lived. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. And there's nothing that can kind of prove it. But the theory is that when that happened, he kind of then had this draw to getting close to death and being able to escape the hands of death. And especially a lot of his escapes as he got older and more famous did involve water and, you know, the concept of drowning. And so, I mean, I think it's one of those things that we can't rule out completely, that maybe it was a brush with death as a child that got him going.
That's terrifying. The water stuff.
Yeah, right?
You have this great exhibit about Houdini, and you talk about his, or you showcase or give information on his Halloween birth, and you have a detailed replica of the casket in which he was laid to rest. That's pretty morbid, but great for Halloween week, I would think.
It's a little bit creepy. It's right at the front of the exhibit. And so people always, like, the first question is like, oh my God, is Houdini buried in there? and he is not. So Houdini died on Halloween Day in 1926, and it was from appendicitis. And the casket that he was buried in was actually a prop that he used as part of his escape. So they already had it on hand and decided to go with that. So the one that we have on display here at the museum is an exact replica of what he was buried in, and it's even made by the same manufacturer and everything.
That is nuts. So the Halloween birth, is that a sort of code, or you guys turned it, or whoever it was that came up with that, that's really his, he died on Halloween.
Yeah, so he died on Halloween. So the exhibit kind of takes you like through his birth all the way to his death. And the exhibit really starts kind of at the end of his life with his death. And then that's really what we're left with now, is this legacy, right, of who he was in his life. And, you know, it's been, next year will be 100 years of his death. And, you know, he's still the most famous magician out there. And he's got that name recognition.
Absolutely. My guest is Dustin Mack. He is the executive director of Appleton's History Museum at the Castle. A really cool place if you haven't been there. I have not, but I was just reading about it today, and I cannot wait to visit. Tell us about the interactive experience regarding the exhibit for kids, Dustin.
This is awesome. So there's all kinds of tricks that they can experience as they go through and kind of learn along with Houdini. So one of the things that got Houdini interested in magic was when circuses were coming to town. This is before TV. This is before radio was really popularized in the late 1800s. And so when the circus came to town, that was like the big deal, right? These were the showstoppers.
Yeah.
And so he saw these circus acts here in Appleton and was really drawn to being a performer. And so one of the first performances he put on was here in Appleton for the neighborhood kids. And so we have different tricks that people can try, the kids can try, you know, balancing acts like you would see at a circus, the strongman interactive, they can give that a shot. And then as Houdini evolved in his career, became a vaudeville star, he got into, you know, jailhouse escapes, handcuffs, doing his famous metamorphosis trick where the, you know, the assistant's locked in the box and then they switch spots. And so, you know, people can go through and they can try some of these experiments for themselves, see how good they can do as compared to Houdini. And it's just really fun for the whole family.
What is that metamorphosis? Can you elaborate on that a little bit? I saw that. I was going to ask you about it anyway.
Yeah. So this is something magicians still do today. And so the concept is that there's a box on stage and the magician will lock the assistant into this box. They close the curtain and then the curtain opens again. And the assistant now is standing on stage and the magician is locked inside. And so you can go through this trick here at the History Museum. If you want to know kind of the mechanics behind the escape, you can learn that here. And if you don't want to do that, then you can skip that part too.
Who would not want to know? I would totally want to know that. That sounds fantastic.
It is by far the most popular thing in this museum. I mean, adults love it. Kids will spend all kinds of time, you know, trying to do this trick and replicate it. Houdini and his wife, Bess, mastered it essentially, and they could do it in 3 seconds. So from the point of one curtain closing to opening was 3 seconds, and nobody ever comes close to that.
That's so cool. Have you ever had a kid that couldn't get out of a straitjacket and had to go home that way?
I threaten most field trips when they come here this way. Yeah, so there's a straitjacket that they can try on and escape from. It is Velcro in the back, so in case of emergency, we can pull the tab back there. There's also a jail cell that they can go into and try to escape from. So there's a hidden key in there that they can try to find. So a lot of times to do these sorts of escapes, Houdini would have an assistant either place a key in there or make a mold and slip it to him somehow so that he was able to kind of unlock himself to make the escape. And so people get that experience for themselves.
That's so great. Last Houdini thing for you, Dustin. You have a walking tour, and you've got one scheduled for this Wednesday at from 6 to 7:30. What's that like, and what can people see on the walking tour?
So if they want to join the tour, they can buy a ticket ahead of time on our website. You come, you do a walk downtown College Avenue, and we make kind of stops that were important to Houdini during his life here in Appleton, talk about his life and his legacy here. Part of what we talk about is the Houdini seance that takes place on Halloween night every year. So spiritualism was really big in the early 1900s when Houdini was alive. And for a minute, he kind of got into it and wanted to believe it. His mother had passed away and he wanted to reconnect with her. And what he discovered was that it wasn't true, that, you know, he felt like he was being misled. So then he went on this campaign to kind of unearth mediums and prove that they were wrong. They were lying to people. And so him and his wife made a pact that if anybody could escape death, right, it would be the great Harry Houdini. So on the day of his death, for 10 years on that date afterwards, his wife held a seance and was looking for a special clue that only him and her knew. And she never saw it, right? She never got the clue that they had agreed to and gave up the seance. But other people have since picked it up and routinely do a seance for Houdini on Halloween night.
That's so great. Dustin, we got to do a really short break. Then we'll come back and wrap things up. I got just a couple more questions for you. We're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hallelujah, my sweet Lord. Hallelujah. I really want to see.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump Department of Justice announced October 24th it would deploy election monitors at 5 California counties on November 4th. DOJ says it is to ensure transparency and ballot security, but most of the counties are heavily Latino, competitive, or lean liberal, and the Proposition 50 redistricting question is on the ballot. In a statement, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi said, "We will commit the resources necessary to ensure the American people get the fair, free, and transparent elections they deserve." Proposition 50 would suspend California's Independent Redistricting Commission until 2030, allowing the legislature to gerrymander more Democratic congressional seats, countering five Texas seats gerrymandered at President Trump's request. Kern, Riverside, Fresno, Orange, and Los Angeles counties were targeted, largely blue or toss-up counties. CalMatters reports that Fresno, Kern, and Riverside counties are majority Latino. A poll shows 54% of Latinos support Proposition 50. Governor Gavin Newsom had warned that the Trump administration might deploy ICE agents at the polls, a charge the administration denies. Quoted in CalMatters, Christian Arana of the Latino Community Foundation said, "These are citizens of this country, and if they are concerned about immigration or any type of federal presence at in-person voting sites, that is alarming." We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Cindy Greening is with Chippewa Valley Indivisible. Maybe I missed the meeting notices. Have you been to these Antifa meetings, and did you get your George Soros check and I just missed it? I get a feeling this is more like regular Americans than paid agitators.
Nobody's getting paid. They're there out of their commitment and love for this country. We want to stand for it, bring back the values where everyone is taken care of and included.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Our question of the night is, name an actor or actress you think should be more famous. Kelly Peterson, Jenna Suits. I think I'm saying that right. Kelly's been on the show before, and I can't even remember how to pronounce her last name. She says Eleanor Donahue, but she is my grandma. Okay, that's a good one, Kelly. Thank you. We have just a couple more minutes left here with our guest from the Appleton History Museum at the Castle, Mr. Dustin Mack. He's the executive director there. Dustin, I didn't want to let you go without telling us you've got a couple more big exhibits that just sound so great and so Halloween. You have the Appleton Asylum, and I saw another thing. This may have passed. I don't know if it's a yearly thing or not. Spiritualists and Hauntings.
Yeah, so those are both a series of walking tours that we do every time kind of in the fall. So we do one right now that is museum after dark called Morbid Medicine. And so People come to the museum, we've got all the lights out, we've got some candles lit around, and then we go through the building and kind of make different stops along the way and showcase artifacts on kind of how medicine used to be presented and how it used to be conducted. So like we have dental equipment from the 1930s, which, you know, we'll give some people pause. there's a story about the Outagamie County insane asylum at the time and kind of what life was like there for the patients and the people that worked there. And we have, you know, some things on display that represent that. And then there's a great story about a local doctor who would go farmhouse to farmhouse. And, you know, sometimes he was conducting surgeries with whatever tools they had available.
Dental stuff, even with state-of-the-art equipment, is kind of terrifying. I mean, I can't even imagine what it was like back then. Great stuff, Dustin. Thank you so much for your time. Check out, everybody, the Appleton History Museum at the Castle. Great stuff, especially leading up to Halloween. Check out the Houdini exhibit. And let's talk again. You got such a great thing going there. Let's have you back soon, Dustin.
Yeah, hey, happy to.
All right, have a great Halloween, and thanks so much for your time tonight. All right, that's Dustin Mack. Check out the Houdini stuff. Dude, what do you know about? Is Houdini something like, you're a younger guy, Conrad? You know who Houdini was?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Definitely,
all
right. Yeah.
All right.
Anytime when you're a kid, you talk about magic, you're like, oh.
Harry Houdini.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for sure. Coming up at 7:05, Emil Bertolotte from Wisconsin Dells Ghost Boat Tours. He will be here. That's a creepy thing, man. I was watching the video on their website, and it just looks really fascinating. And then at 7:20, Strategic will be here in studio singing some tunes. Our question of the night, as I mentioned, name an actress or who is an actress you think or actor you think should be more famous or well known. In the 414, Edward, who said Aubrey Plaza and then gave us a movie suggestion because there was great lesbian action, also said Robert Davi was also in The Goonies. That he was, Edward. No, that was Brett that said that about Aubrey Plaza, I think, Con.
Yes.
You got to be my fact checker. I don't want to get a texter. I don't need to get sued on this show.
Yeah,
can
that wouldn't be
can
good.
A texter sue
it was,
me?
It was Brett.
It was Brett. Okay. Edward did say, though, that Robert Davi was also in The Goonies. Yes, he was. He was scary, too. He and Joe Pantoliano, and then that actress, I can never remember her name, but she was also in Throw Mama from the Train and could play really a really good scary person. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Anna Taylor-Joy from The Witch, Mad Max Furiosa, and Split, also Bruce Campbell. Yeah, Bruce Campbell's a total cult hero, and I love Anna Taylor-Joy, and I'm totally with you there, Tyler. She's outstanding. From the 920, Steve, he's in Florida, though. He's Conrad's dad, says, an actor-director that should be more well-known throughout the world is Pete Schwabe from Marinette, Wisconsin. Look at your dad. What a swell guy.
I think Steve wants to be on the show.
Let's get Steve on here. What can he talk about? Let's have Conrad's dad on. I think that'd be fun. And not just because he said that about my movie, but, you know, just build him up a little bit.
Just have him talk about how great the movie is the whole time.
Steve, I'll let you even write the questions, your own questions. Thank you, Steve. Much appreciated. If you're in the Madison area, December 4th, we're having a screening at the Atwood Music Hall of The Godfather of Green Bay for a good cause. More details will follow on that next week, but just in case your dad happens to be in the Madison area, Con. Tom from New Berlin in the 414 says, last time the Packers beat the Steelers was with Bart Starr in Pittsburgh now in 2025. The love. Maybe
you
meant in Pittsburgh?
In Pittsburgh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you, Tom. Jim from Appleton says, my favorite ShamWow bit was when Len Nelson and Rick McNeil tested it over the new soundboard at the WAPL radio station. The ShamWow failed epically.
Yeah, that sounds
that
like
true?
Chaos. I don't know. I didn't know, but that sounds just like a disaster.
Whether it's true or not, that's a fantastic text. Thank you, Jim. Rachel from Milwaukee, she's in the 608, says, Michael Urie is fantastic. He plays Brian and Apple TV's, in Shrinking, and played Mark in Ugly Betty. I do remember him in Ugly Betty back in the day. Rachel says he's just getting credit now with Shrinking popularity and totally deserves it. He always plays the best friend and supporting actor we all need and supporting character we all need. Well done, Rachel. Thank you.
I agree. In Shrinking, he's awesome.
He's good.
Yeah,
he's
a great
good actor. I know who he is. Jim from Appleton says, Tony Shalhoub does not get the respect he deserves. I don't know if he's as famous as he should be. I think Tony Shalhoub, though, and I'm not trying to argue with you, Jim, he's a really respected actor. I think people love Tony Shalhoub inside the business and out. But I agree, he could definitely be more famous. I'm trying to get him on the show. I've reached out to his people.
Yeah. He's just like, now that Pete Schwabe.
Yeah. What does he think I am, a couch potato? Tom from New Berlin in the 414 says, plus a street thing. What, you think you're Houdini? I never heard that. That's great, Tom. Great stuff. How are we doing on time, Con? My screen just went dead again.
Well, we got 20 seconds.
20 seconds? That's insanity. All right, we're coming back after the news for Act Two. It's going to be fun, folks. We're going to talk ghost boat tours in the Wisconsin Dells. It's Pete Schwabe and Nightlight and the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Category 5 Hurricane Melissa is now making its presence known. ABC's Ike Ajaji is tracking the storm from the Jamaican capital of Kingston.
What we're seeing right now is massive amounts of rain starting to come onto the island in intermittent bands, along with those strong winds. Now, we went out around the island just in the past hour or so, and we started to see those effects essentially batter the coast. Those strong winds, that storm surge is essentially going to engulf Kingston and affect the rest of the island.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Category 5 Hurricane Melissa is now making its presence known. ABC's Ike Ajaji is tracking the storm from the Jamaican capital of Kingston.
What we're seeing right now is massive amounts of rain starting to come onto the island in intermittent bands, along with those strong winds. Now, we went out around the island just in the past hour or so, and we started to see those effects essentially batter the coast. Those strong winds, that storm surge is essentially going to engulf Kingston and affect the rest of the island.
Forecasters say Hurricane Melissa has maximum sustained winds of